The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, in the Gospels, Jesus shows again and again that he can tolerate sinners. He dines with them, he visits with them, he talks with them in public places. He makes a lot of people mad seeking them out. And he does seek them out specifically and says that he came here to save them. But when it comes to hypocrites, those who say one thing and do another, those who mislead by their example, for them, he doesn't seem to show a lot of tolerance. His attitude is like that of the great prophet Malachi in the first reading today, who says, "This is for you, O priests. You have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by your instruction." So about 150 years before Christ, these Pharisees, they were the good guys. The Greeks were in charge, and they decided that to make everyone politically the same, they would have them celebrate and practice their religions in the same way as well. And so they imposed the Greek ways on the Jews, including eating pork and worshiping idols. And you can read about that in the two books of Maccabees. They really go into the detail about the people who fought and resisted. And there was a spiritual resistance of pious laymen to that as well. And that was led by the people who became the scribes and the Pharisees. So they were the heroes. And now, just a few generations later, when the Son of God appears in their midst, the Pharisees reject him. And Jesus is especially upset that they hold themselves up as leaders and examples, and they can greatly affect others' paths, but they do not admit to their own faults, and instead they hide behind their detailed knowledge of the law, and they exhort others to do what they themselves do not. And you can contrast that with the description that St. Paul provides today in the second reading, where the disciples are right down in the muck with the disciples, with the new Christians, in the toil and the drudgery, working day and night in order not to burden them, in order to proclaim to them the gospel of God, and acknowledging that in spite of their lowliness, God is using them as vessels to pour out his word. Not as kings or masters, but as fellow servants, gentle like a mother caring for her children. And Jesus comes down hard on the scribes and the Pharisees. He tells the people, "Do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice." And he wraps it up neatly with the final verses of the gospel. He says, "The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Wow. How many of our public figures got that memo? So many go to such extreme efforts to puff themselves up, to scramble to the places of honor, of glory, and of power. And bombast and put down seem to be the way to get there nowadays. But this example of pride is what many of them portray to the watching world. And pride, the lust for honor, glory, and power, as J.R. Tolkien related in his famous trilogy, is the one ring that rules all. Pride seeks its greatness apart from God. As Marcellino D'Ambrosio says, the tricky thing about pride is that it can even start in the course of promoting God's greatness. Marcellino says it works like this. As people begin applauding, as you do God's work, you think they are applauding for you. And he says, it's a rather pitiful mistake, really. Imagine the donkey Jesus rode into Jerusalem thinking that the crowd had turned out for him. Such applause, however, can be addicting. The proud person ultimately will do anything to make the ovation happen and keep it going. But there can only be one star, and pride is essentially competitive. So anyone who threatens to steal the show becomes a mortal enemy, even if that happens to be God. And that's what happened with the Pharisees in the reading today. The proud man doesn't teach to enlighten, but rather to pontificate, to impress, and to appear as an authority. So the Pharisees laid heavy moral burdens on the shoulders of the people without lifting a finger to help them. They coveted the titles of teacher, and that is what rabbi means, and father. The teachers in the ancient world were regarded as spiritual fathers. But really, they did not want to shoulder the responsibility that went with those titles. When Jesus says to avoid being called teacher and father, he wasn't talking about what sort of titles educators and parents should and shouldn't use. He was talking about an attitude. Humble persons realize that all wisdom and teaching comes from God, even if God happens to be instructing others through their mouths. Humble leaders realize that all authority and power comes from God, who is merely exercising his sovereignty through them. Such people realize that the honor and applause ultimately is for God, and they're glad to redirect it back to him, just like Mary did when Elizabeth praised her about carrying the Christ. I've seen people fall victim to pride, and interestingly, it seems that more of them have been people who were truly gifted, truly capable in their field. I'm reading a great autobiography right now. It was written by a man named Bob Hoover. He was a pilot in, he calls it War II, and he later became a test pilot. And he was reluctant to write the book because he didn't want to toot his own horn or make himself sound like he was full of himself. But his friend convinced him otherwise, and he's written an amazing book. So when he's not simply describing something he's doing, when it's something that requires critiquing or evaluation, he uses the words that others wrote about him. And the words are by people like Chuck Yeager, Neil Armstrong, and all the great pilots that I'd ever heard of, and a lot that I haven't heard of. And they all pretty much conclude that he was probably the best pilot ever. And these are the guys that you think are the greatest pilots, and they say he is. They said that no one could fly a plane like he could. And Bob Hoover seemed to realize and recognize that he was blessed. He could have been killed many, many times, but he survived. He worked very, very hard to become as good as he was, but he still recognized that someone else was responsible for his gift. Likewise, when I heard about the miracle on the Hudson, when the, I don't remember which airline it was, but Sully Sullenberger flew the plane that was hit, the goose hit the engines went out, and he landed on the Hudson River without any injuries or any fatalities. And multiple times I saw him being interviewed, and he attributed all of it 100% to his training and his preparation. And there's no question that he was a very, very skilled pilot, and he too worked very hard to get as good as he was. And he was a great instructor to others. But I was shocked that he thought that he controlled all of the variables in that situation. And who knows, perhaps when he is alone, he has a different conversation with his maker. And I'm not at a level where I can compare myself in either way to either of these men, but I believe, from what I've seen, that Hoover is the humble one. And now that he has passed away, he truly humbled himself and acknowledged God for his gifts, he has now been exalted. For the humble are secure in the love of God and therefore have no need of pomp and circumstance. They are not afraid to look at their own littleness, for they clearly see the greatness of a God who is not a competitor, but a loving Father. May we all be truly humble. Amen.